Ho, ho, ho! Hold on, FPL is back, and the only thing we're hoping for this Christmas is points. So who's going to gift wrap the goals and carve up the clean sheets ahead of a Boxing Day feast? Hello, welcome back to another FPL pod. Forget the World Cup. In fact, forget international football altogether because the Premier League and FPL are back in a matter of days. And Julian and Ron, I'm guessing the phrase "forget the World Cup."
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not interested.
You should leave me alone. Really, that's what you should be doing.
Okay, well, we'll try and talk about FPL rather than the World Cup.
I've lost my voice because I shouted so much on Kylian Mbappe's goal, and in the end, for nothing. So, I was heartbroken Sunday, but it's better now. You know, I mean, you English people. We'll never be able to feel like the way we feel, whether we win 4 years ago or we don't win this year. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, let's get that out of the way. I knew that was coming. I walked straight into that. Sam Bonfield is also with us, as always. Sam, what a final it was for us neutrals.
Sorry, George, but okay. It was an unbelievable final, wasn't it? I genuinely... Forget that it was a World Cup final. It's just one of the best games of football I've ever watched. Like it was so good, particularly those last sort of 10 minutes of the game. I actually thought the France were going to do it. I thought that having had that comeback, that was it. They were going to go on and lift the trophy. So yeah, what a phenomenal achievement for Messi as well. And a nice way to kind of round off what has been a really nice World Cup.
And our final guest today is comedian and FPL manager, Lloyd Griffith. Lloyd, welcome to the podcast. Tell me... How does a Grimsby Town fan and a comedian become an FPL manager? And I'm told you're quite into it, so I'm going to call you an FPL obsessive.
Well, thank you for having me, first off. Big fan of the pod. But I think being a Grimsby fan, you could quite easily just not pay attention to the Premier League. So essentially being an FPL manager keeps me abreast of what's going on. And especially when I was hosting Soccer AM for a few years, it saved my bacon because I had to be so thoroughly involved in it. And sometimes you can have years where if you don't do very well in the first few months, you can absolutely give up and go, oh, do you know what? I'll just save it for next year. But being an FPL manager has essentially saved my bacon on so many occasions. And I'm actually doing the best I've ever done this year.
Go on. How are you doing?
Well, apparently not as good as you, as we had a little chat, just pre-record.
That's what she asked, Lloyd.
I was like, I'm only 14 points behind you, Kelly. He went, oh, yeah, no, I'm having the worst season of my life. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I'll shut up, actually. I'm on 895 points. So, I'll take that.
That's not bad. No, it's not bad at all. And of course, it kind of feels like, doesn't it, for Premier League teams and for us, we've had the break. Yep. We can go again. This is the beauty of the way this season's gone with our little World Cup break. And of course, we've got unlimited transfers at the moment as well. So hopefully we can provide you with some help. You can provide us with some help over the next 30 minutes or so. Firstly, I want to also ask you, what type of FPL manager are you? Give us an insight into how you manage your team.
The planning, the organization, the planning.
Oh, yeah. All of that. Yeah. I'm not coming from my tactics room today, actually. I'm coming just from the library. But what happens is it's Saturday morning. It's about 11:20. I'll wake up and I'll see a tweet from either one of my other friends who's a massive FPL head or actually from you, Kelly, going, oh, crikey, I don't know what to do, whether to put do I risk Haaland? And I'm like looking, oh no, I've nearly missed it. And then I have about 14 minutes against the clock to try and get in what I think is the best team, given my budget and the fact that I can only see it out of one eye on a Saturday morning. And so again, with taking that into consideration, I think I'm doing quite well. I've got friends who literally have spreadsheets who are in little weird little WhatsApp groups that kind of get rumors about who's I'm like, what are you doing? There's no money at stake here. What are you doing? So I am very much not to throw any shade on Sam Allardyce, but I'd say I'm like the Sam Allardyce as opposed to the Pep Guardiola. Do you know what I mean? The no nonsense. It's all about gut instinct, emotion, not a spreadsheet in sight.
I saw Sam's face then because Sam is definitely a spreadsheet manager.
I am a spreadsheet. Yeah, 100%. I've got spreadsheets upon spreadsheets. My camera roll at the minute, Lloyd, is just draft after draft after draft when I'm trying to decide who to have in my unlimited transfers.
Really?
Okay, well, let's talk. Wow. Sorry, the awe in his. I was going to try and move the pod on then, but the awe in Lloyd's voice and in his face was like, wow, I'm actually meeting one of these spreadsheets.
Yeah, I'm an FPL nerd.
we're all FPL nerds, really, aren't we? Well, I certainly am, even if my track record and my score doesn't always show it. Let's talk a little bit more about where the market currently is then, Sam. We're going to assess some players, assess teams' fixtures and positioning. We're going to go through everything. But let's firstly look at the players who are proving popular with managers and those who perhaps aren't. How do you assess it at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm keeping a really close eye on at the moment, because given that we are about to head into this second half of the season and we have the opportunity that we never really do to make these unlimited amount of transfers, knowing that prices can't change, it's the perfect opportunity to kind of play around with your team and get the best ones in. But you can start to see massive movements of people towards certain players. So players like Ivan Toney, like Almiron, Darwin Nunez, Harry Kane, all hugely popular at the moment. Lots of people bringing them in. And when we look over the last 24 hours, for example, Mitrovic has been the most popular player to come into FPL teams. Now, that, of course, isn't really surprising given Fulham's double game week in game week 19. And I think we're starting to see managers looking ahead to, you know, what's happening in a couple of game weeks time and making sure their team is 100% set for 17, but also beyond.
Yeah, there's been some really interesting transfers. And if we take a look at the movement over the last 24 hours ahead of recording, we're recording on Tuesday, the 20th of December in the evening. We can see that the fifth most transferred in player is Diogo Dalot. And Sam, just before we came to record this podcast, we had some quite worrying news on him, didn't we? And I know that'll be worrying news to you and Jules because you were both looking at him.
Yeah, he was 100% coming into my team. That was one of the players that I was absolutely dead set on. And then we've had the news that obviously he picked up some sort of injury for playing for Portugal against Morocco, suspected hamstring issue. He's now flagged in the game, reported back to Carrington early, or earlier than he was expected to, and hasn't been in training apparently since. So we're going to have to keep a close eye on that and listen very carefully to what Ten Hag's got to say, because if he's not available, that's going to put a strain on the period of time that you wanted him for, which is really those first three game weeks when they come back into the Premier League. So from 17 through to 19, those are Man United's really nice fixtures. If he's not there, you're going to probably want to look at a different Manchester United player. But he's been transferred in by over 26,000 managers in the last 24 hours. So, you know, you're going to have to keep a close eye on that now.
Cool. The beauty of those unlimited transfers, I imagine, if you made him as one of your transfers.
100%.
And then you're going to have to use a transfer to get rid of him. Thank you so much, FPL, for giving us this extra chip. Taking a look at the players that have been most transferred out then over the last 24 hours, unsurprisingly, Gabriel Jesus, head and shoulders above, around 70,000 managers have got rid of him over the last day alone. Then there's Trossard, Zaha, Foden, Kane, Martinelli, Williams, Wilson, Cancelo, and then Dalot also making it on that list. Any of those surprise you, Jules?
A little bit, I have to say. I'm not really sure why Harry Kane is quite heavily on this list. I mean, I know you need to keep an eye on the players who went to the World Cup, especially the ones who went far, because they will have a bit of holidays now. You could, between a week and 10 days. So if you like Alexis McAllister, for example, if you're a Brighton fan or you think that he will carry the momentum that he had and how well he played in the World Cup into the Premier League and etc., just keep in mind that he should only be back in around 10 days now for Brighton. So he will miss certainly probably Boxing Day, the Boxing Day fixtures, and then maybe more of the fixtures around the festive period. So that's also to keep in mind when you make your transfers. Don't forget some of the players who went, let's say, up to the semi-final of the World Cup might not be back on time for the Boxing Day fixtures, and then maybe the one that follows after that.
Yeah, some interesting quotes coming out of Brighton. Their chief exec talking about the fact that they have to let Alexis McAllister celebrate, don't they? I think they also mentioned that it's his birthday on Christmas Eve as well. So some uncertainty as to whether he will feature against Southampton on Boxing Day. Harry Kane, though, Lloyd, wanted to ask you about him. Sam and Jules on this podcast, you'll probably know, are big Harry Kane fans. Obviously, we all know what happened to Harry Kane in the World Cup 10 days or so ago. How are you feeling about him and how he's going to pick up in this Premier League resumption?
I think Harry Kane will just absolutely slot back in as to where he was. He's so professional, but the way he speaks, the way he carries himself, there is no real emotion in there. So I think it's just, you know, he'll just carry on like nothing's happened. And that penalty, like, I honestly think that penalty miss, he'll have thought about it, he'll have had ways in which to process it, and he'll crack on. Like, as a comedian, And obviously, I'm not comparing myself to Harry Kane. You know, that's for you guys to do.
That is some comparison.
I thought you were, but I'm glad you cleared that up.
Thank you. Yeah, we were very different in style, but this is quite similar in stature. But basically, if you have a really bad gig as a comedian, you can do two things. You can dwell on it for weeks or months, or you can give yourself until 12 o'clock the next day. And then that's what I do. If I have a bad gig, I give myself until 12 o'clock the next day and you get on with it. And that takes time to perfect over the weeks and months and years. But I think this is definitely what footballers do. Do you know what I mean? They'll have ways in which to deal with it and then get back in. And look, Harry Kane will be straight back into that squad. Do you know what I mean? He'll be the first name on that team sheet if he's fit, which I believe he is. I don't think the ankle thing has kind of flared up at all. So I've got no qualms in that he'll be in the next few days or maybe this game week, but I think you'll see a change there. I think a lot of people will want to stick him in. I think you're naive if you think that he'll drop off.
Okay, maybe I've been spending a bit too much time with Gareth Southgate, but I do just want to confirm that he told us during the World Cup that Harry Kane had suffered a foot injury, not this ankle injury that we all talk about, that Spurs fans all get very scared about. This time, the injury that he did suffer in those opening games was actually foot, not ankle. I don't know if that makes it any better or worse.
It's the same thing.
Not really sure, but it's not the same injury.
Well, I mean, you know, you say potato, I say potato, but I think it is. It's an injury below the knee. It's the same. Oh, yeah, but he's fine, isn't he?
Yeah, and also he'll have had a couple of weeks to hopefully shake that off and shake any other kind of concerns off as well. Before we move on to fixtures, we spoke a lot about Gabriel Jesus last week and how bad it was for him, Jules, getting that injury, and how bad it was potentially for us in FPL as well. What we didn't say was if you are going to get rid of Gabriel Jesus, which we've all said you kind of have to, who's the best replacement for him?
Well, we mentioned already a little bit Mitrovic and his name. Funnily enough, he's also on the list of the most transfer out players, which is strange because he's got a double game week coming up as well, which you would think that should be attractive for any managers to think that you don't have to bring him right now if you want, although you've got those free transfers, so may as well do it if you think that he can bring you points between now and his double game week. But for the double game week, I think Mitrovic would be a very smart idea.
Yeah, and saves you a little bit of money as well. Yeah. 6.8 million, whereas Gabriel Jesus is 8 million. Mitrovic, as it stands, is 6.8. I'm saying as it stands, don't worry, the prices aren't going to rise until after the deadline, the unlimited transfer window. Prices are frozen. I don't want people atting me on social media. Let's take a look at the fixtures then coming up. We often use the FDR on this programme to help us look at which teams have favourable runs upcoming. And we're taking a look at the fixtures from game week 17 to 23. And in order of, on paper, the best fixture, it goes Manchester City, then Chelsea, Fulham, Southampton, Arsenal. Which of those teams, Sam, should we be looking at most closely?
Well, I think for me, the interesting ones are kind of the ones that have the double game weeks coming up quicker. So obviously Man City, we're going to get some more insight into them this week, aren't we? Because we've got League Cup action on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So we're going to hear a little bit more from those managers. We're going to see the teams that they put out. That might give us a bit more insight into Pep's roulette and who he might play in the Premier League over the next few weeks. But I'm particularly looking at Fulham and Chelsea and thinking I'd really like to invest in those teams because they're the ones with the double game week up first. They're the ones I feel that I've got less time to use my transfers on beyond the unlimited window closing. So for me, it's Fulham and Chelsea that I'm mostly targeting. And then obviously I'm keeping a close eye on Manchester City because those fixtures are really lovely. I'm probably just going to have two though and leave that third spot open for as I get more understanding of what Pep's plans are for January.
Those Manchester City fixtures, incidentally, they start with Leeds in game week 17, then Everton, then Chelsea, then they've got the double, which is Manchester United and Spurs, Wolves at Tottenham, and then the other double in game week 23, which is Aston Villa and then Arsenal. Jules, Sam didn't mention Arsenal then. I said they'd got favourable fixtures. They're up there and she didn't say she was looking at them. Why?
Forget the other side of North London, Kelly.
I know, I wonder about that. Yeah, no, you're right. If you look at Arsenal, they play West Ham at home, then Brighton away, Newcastle at home, and then it would be the derby against Spurs away, Manchester United at home. So the Spurs United, so back to back, I think is tough. But before that, you can see them getting some momentum. The Newcastle game would be hard as well. It's just about how much they're going to miss Gabriel Jesus. It's as simple as that. Who's going to replace him? Will it be Nketiah? Is it Martinelli moving more central? and how they would play without him. We saw them against Juventus at the weekend in a friendly, being really good, but losing the game, lacking a bit of efficiency because they created...
Did you watch that?
Yeah.
Just clarify, did you watch it?
Of course he did. Of course he did, Kelly. It's a game of football.
And then I went to Morocco against Croatia for the third plate playoff, which you didn't, I believe. Did you in Qatar? No, you were at the beach?
No, I was watching Huddersfield versus Watford.
Oh, fair enough.
Online.
Come on, Watford.
I watched them both on TV at the same time.
That's good. That's good. So yeah, so it's all about that. But that's the thing. We won't know how well that team does without Gabriel Jesus until we see them play. So you could easily see if you want an Arsenal asset, like an Odegaard that you don't have, or Martinelli you don't have, or Saka that you don't have, maybe just wait maybe the first game week back and then assess the way they played and who played where and who did well before making your transfers in.
I just want to be clear, Kelly, though. I'm not getting rid of all Arsenal altogether. Like, I'm going to keep Martinelli.
I've got this problem because I've got Bukayo Saka and Gabriel Martinelli.
Yeah.
And as Jules is hinting, potentially one of them could fill the void left by Gabriel Jesus. And I just know whichever one I sell, yeah, the other one will be the one that then goes on a score.
100%. Absolutely, 100%.
So who do I keep? Anyone?
For me, I'm going to keep Martinelli. I think he has the most chance of playing out of position up top. Plus, he's that much cheaper. I can use the budget that I'm saving on not having Saka to invest elsewhere. The big question for me with Arsenal is, you know, I've had three of them. For the majority of this season, I've had Saka, I've had Martinelli, and I've had Jesus. And I was kind of thinking, oh, I might stick along the two lines for a while and potentially have Ben White as well at the back. So I will stay invested in Arsenal. I do think Martinelli for me remains a bit of a key pick. And then I might make the move to Saka a little bit later on when we see whether Arsenal come back in the form that they were in from game week 1 to 16.
And just to wrap up Arsenal, Eddie and Ketia started all the friendlies that they've played. So against Milan, against Lyon, against Juventus as well, in the Gabriel Jesus role. So you would expect him to start that first game, you know, first game of the Premier League back in that position, just if you're thinking about bringing in Nketiah, which is a differential and could be very good.
Lloyd just shook his head at that. No, I'm wondering why.
I think well, you hit the nail on the head earlier. I think just don't risk any Arsenal players for a week or so. Let the dust settle. I'm taking out Gabriel Jesus, like, obviously, and replacing him with, I think, Wilson. I think Callum Wilson will be reinvigorated after his World Cup tournament, got some minutes, and I think he'll be ready. He'll be chomping at the bit. I think he'll be chomping at the bit. So I think we need to park Arsenal and bring in Newcastle. That's just what I'm saying.
Newcastle, of course, playing Bournemouth in the League Cup this evening. So probably by the time that everyone's listening to this podcast, we'll have a lot more information about Newcastle. But Eddie Howe kind of did give some cryptic quotes about Callum Wilson last week, Sam, didn't he? Where he wasn't quite back and he said he didn't want to say too much on the situation. So we are going to have to watch what happens with Newcastle tonight very closely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the truth for all the England players, to be honest, because none of them were quite back. So yes, Howe was cryptic, but I think, you know, if you'd have sat down with Conte and asked him some questions about Harry Kane, he probably would have been just as cryptic as Howe was. So I'm not reading too much into it, but I will be reading quite a lot into the team sheets and also the benches that we see in the League Cup, because if we start to see these players back on the bench tonight or in the starting 11 and over the next couple of days in the League Cup, then they are players that you could be fairly sure are going to be part of the team for game week 17.
Newcastle, incidentally, do rank 8th out of all of the teams in the Premier League on the FDR. But of course, we do have to weigh up form versus fixtures when making our decisions. Okay, well, as essentially the whole of FPL are on a wild card right now, we're going to go through position by position and see who we're all looking at and where the key decisions are coming. But before we do that, Sam, let's start with some team structure. What are you thinking that most of the time your starting 11 will be?
It's a tough one, this one, to be honest, Kelly, because I'm looking at the squads that I'm creating and all of them are proper squads, 15 playing players, 15 players I'd like to play every week. Of course, I've got to pick 11 of them. I think most of the time that's going to mean a back three with three up top. So I'll be in the kind of 3-4-3 formation for the majority of the next few weeks, knowing that my two cheap defenders, I'm happy for them to come on and play if they're needed, if we see some rotation, as well as my fifth midfielder. Now, of course, my fifth midfielder I'm going to very much want to play in game week 19 because that's Andreas Pereira with his double game week. And I think most people will have Andreas Pereira as their fifth midfielder of choice. But I think for me, 3-4-3 feels like the way to go in these opening weeks.
Oh, that's the most fun formation as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, all out attack.
Three forwards. Yeah, that's what we all like. Right, let's go through. Who are you thinking you're going to have in goal, Lloyd? Who are your goalkeepers going
to
be?
Well, look, I'd just like to say what I just said recently about leaving Arsenal, I'd like to take back, actually.
that was quick.
Yeah, I know. It's purely because I just looked at my team. So I think Aaron Ramsdale will be back in straight away.
Jules will like this.
Yeah,
I think Aaron Ramsdale will be back. And he will be chomping at the bit to play football. That is a man who loves to play. And obviously, he didn't play during the World Cup. He'll be like, right, get me back in. I'm sure of it. So I've got Ederson and Ramsdale as my two goalkeepers.
Expensive.
I was going to say, you're going big there.
Yeah, I am going big, but I also got Ramsdale very cheap at the start. And he's gone up a little bit, I think. So I've got Ederson and Ramsdale as my two goalkeepers. And I just think that either way, one of them is going to be solid. You're always going to get a 4 or a 6-pointer week in, week out. So on the last game week, actually, Ederson got 2 and Ramsdale got 6 and he was on the bench. So I think for me, Ramsdale's going in goal.
Jules, I know you love that shout because you love Aaron Ramsdale, but are you going to be going with him?
Yeah. Ramsdale would be my keeper. Oh. Yeah, me and Lloyd, we're together on this. And I agree everything that Lloyd said in the sense that...
That is great. I'm clipping that up. That's my new text message ringtone.
In the sense that... I think the players who didn't play much or at all at the World Cup but felt that maybe they should have or they could have, I think would feel that frustration and use it in a very positive way when the Premier League comes back or the Carabao Cup comes back. So I think you could expect big things from those guys who, you know, there's ones who went to the World Cup thinking like they knew they're going to be number 26, 25th, 24th in the squads. I think in Ramsdale's case, he thought like, you know, I'm going to give my best and see maybe if I can put the doubt in Southgate's mind so I could play, and he would not be happy to not play. I think, Kelly, you spoke to him during the World Cup as well, and that is very much the vibe that I got from him as well, of like, he knew there was a hierarchy, but he also thought like maybe he could change it. He didn't, but now he's going to come back with like being very hungry, and I think we can expect a big thing from Ramsdale and other players in kind of his position, you know, his mindset at the restart of the Premier League.
Sam, I can never decide with these kind of decisions whether I want to have one expensive playing goalkeeper and then just a really cheap second goalkeeper to save money for elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Or I'm often tempted by the whole rotation and being able to have two keepers that have good fixtures on kind of opposite weeks. Which way are you going after the restart?
Normally I'm sort of I love a premium goalkeeper. I love taking away the stress of thinking about my goalkeeper every week. Like I started the season with Ederson, just leave him there and enjoy the points as they come. But Danny Ward has provided such great value this season, and the Leicester City fixtures continue to look quite nice. And he rotates really beautifully with Kepa at Chelsea if Kepa is fit. Now, he missed the last three games before the World Cup with a foot injury. We need to see what Potter's got to say about Kepa and his return. And hopefully we're going to get some word on him ahead of the League Cup, because if it's going to be Mendy, I don't like the rotation so much because I don't like paying as much for Mendy as a second goalkeeper option. I want them to be cheap. So if Kepa's not available, I'm still keeping Ward, and I'll probably go rogue and look to have Leno as my second goalkeeper. He's the same price as Kepa, rotates nicely with Ward, and also has the double game week in game week 19. So I'm kind of thinking that I'm going to go with a cheap pair of rotating goalkeepers, use the budget to solidify the rest of my squad, and potentially give myself, well, I will give myself a double game week goalkeeper, whether that's Kepa or Leno.
Isn't that a gamble though? Sorry, if like Leno, I just think Leno's a bit of a gamble, is he not?
Well, I mean, the reality is if he doesn't play for any reason, then I've always got Ward who's going to play on in his place. So for me, having a pair of rotating keepers in that way makes a lot of sense. I mean, I do like Kepa and Ward for a long-term pair of rotating goalkeepers. So if there's a chance that Kepa is not here in 17, but is fit and again and available for 18, 19, then I will probably start the season with an injured goalkeeper on the bench and play Danny Ward.
I've always had a way of thinking, and that is I would never have a goalkeeper that's in the bottom half of the Premier League. I know that Fulham have just snuck into the top half of the Premier League, but my thing has always been two goalkeepers at the top half of the Premier League, because that way, at least you know you're going to get decent points week in, week out.
Yeah, and normally I would agree with you on the premium goalkeepers. I love a premium goalkeeper and I like to have one from the top of the table. Like, ideally, I'd have Alisson or Edison. I've had Lloris over previous seasons. You know, pick somebody that's going to get clean sheets. But actually, we haven't seen that many clean sheets from the top goalkeepers this season. You know, Pope's the best scoring goalkeeper right now from Newcastle. So I'm not seeing a huge amount of upside from the premiums to the money you've got to spend on them in goal, which is why I'd rather spend that money on the premiums up top and in the forward spots and save it from the goalkeepers. Because the reality is most goalkeepers in most weeks, the kind of ceiling is six. They don't often get 10, 12 points. You know, that in order to do that, they've got to have to save a penalty, make multiple saves and really overachieve. So if you're budgeting for them always getting six, I think I'd rather have, you know, either a premium forward or an attacking wing back defender who could get the six plus has more additional route points.
Okay, let's move on to defence. Jules, how's your defence lining up at the moment? I'm intrigued as to how much money you're going to put in your defence as well.
No, I think I've been very good. I mean, Diogo Dalot aside, because we don't know about his fitness.
Yeah.
But Kieran Trippier, I think you need to. He's the best defender with the most points so far. Incredible first half of the season, really, from him. William Saliba, as we know, friend of the show. We love him dearly.
You didn't sing?
No, yeah, because I'm a bit... I mean, Lloyd makes me shy, so I didn't want... And I've lost my voice, as you know, in the World Cup final. You know, the final that France played. So Saliba, friend of the show, of course. I think my differential, and we mentioned him a little bit last time, is Andy Robertson with Liverpool, because I think there's a case. He's only still owned by 5% of the managers, which is normal because he didn't really have a good first half of the season like Liverpool didn't. But you can make a point for Liverpool to be better, for him to be better. He didn't go to the World Cup. He had a good holidays. He looked good in the friendlies that they've played so far. And I think Robertson could be interesting. And I've got soft spots for Sven Botman as well. Newcastle, who like very quietly is having a good season. I think he's 7 or 8 in the highest point for defenders. He's only owned by 3% of the managers. And again, he's not too expensive compared to others. So I think between Botman and Robertson, there's a couple of differentials that could be very interesting.
Lloyd, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Jules has this thing that he won't have João Cancelo in his team because he wears the number 7
Impossible.
Shirt. And according to Jules, that shouldn't be basically be allowed.
Yeah, illegal. No, that is
that's
illegal,
why he hasn't listed João Cancelo.
Yeah, and to be fair, again, I used to have a rule where the goalkeepers would, I mean, if they wore short sleeves, get out. So Ramsdale is an exception to the rule because he's a lovely lad. And you know, we know each other. I give him tips. I send him some drills every now and then. But yeah, having 7 at the back, I mean, what are you playing at, mate?
I'm not sure people who might listen from overseas know a bit about your career as a goalkeeper. Could you just...
Yeah, so I once had trials for Grimsby and District Schoolboys in the late 1990s.
That is it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
I'd like to put my feet up thinking, as a presenter of this podcast, I'm not going to talk for a couple of minutes because you're going to tell this elaborate story.
That was my main issue as well. I used to put my feet up, which was when you're bringing a stool to a football match because you think it's going to be an easy, they're like, well, I don't think this guy's count for it. But for a little short, chubby bloke, I've managed to play in some big stadiums, not necessarily full. But yeah, I do fancy myself as a goalkeeper. And I still haven't ruled it out. Do you know what I mean? In your late 30s, it's still...
Never
still
too
a possibility,
late.
Isn't it? Yeah. League One.
Sam, let's bring this podcast back to some form of normality wow. / FPL related wow. chat rather than the history of Lloyd Griffith, the goalkeeper, which is a very short history, as we discovered. Yep. Defence, who have you got at the moment?
So like Jules, I have got Dalot in there waiting injury news on him. Trippier and... the legend that is the number 7, Cancelo, 100% in my defensive line. And then my other two are currently Reece James and the also flagged in the game, Aaron Creswell. Now, I really like the West Ham fixtures. Apart from the Arsenal game in game week 17, they're really nice for a fair few weeks. And Creswell is a massive differential. He's only owned by 2.4%. He has... real attacking threat. Now, we haven't seen a lot from West Ham this season so far. In fact, that's a bit of an overstatement. They've been really poor, surprisingly so in the Premier League. And I think that will change. I'm expecting really good things from West Ham in this second half of the season. And when we look at Creswell's stats from last season, he took 14 free kicks, 76 corners. He had 13 attempts from other set pieces, a goal from a set piece. He got 4 assists and 2 goals in total last campaign, as well as 22 penalty area touches. So there is attacking threat there for Creswell. He's only 4.8. Like I said before, he's a differential. So I think with a team defence that has Cancelo and Trippier and has Dalot in it and probably Reece James, they're going to be fairly standard picks across most FPL teams. So you want one in there that's going to be a bit different for you and that can bring you in some points that other people won't be getting. And Creswell, if fit, could be that one for me. Now, he limped off against Cambridge in a friendly on the 6th of December. So we have to wait for Moyes to say something about Creswell and his fitness. I'm hoping he took him off as a bit of a precaution, because really he didn't need to be playing Aaron Creswell against Cambridge for the whole match. But he did limp off. So let's see what news we get from Moyes at the back end of this week ahead of game week 17. But if he's fit, I'm going to have Creswell.
What do you make of those defenders, Lloyd? How many of those are in your team? How's your defence shaping up?
Yeah, Creswell, absolutely not on my radar. And again, there are so many footballers that you just go, I could absolutely have Creswell, you know what I mean, in the squad. But for me, I've gone Trippier. I've had Trippier since day one. I've got friend of the show, Saliba. I've got Luke Shaw at the moment, and they're the three that start. I think ordinarily, and again, you just don't know until they play, quite high-scoring defenders who have got it in their locker to all assist, and in Saliba's instance, like, definitely, you know, stick his name on the goal sheet. I think I'm just making up phrases today. Like, it's like, it feels like I've got
school sheet is the one you meant then.
School sheet, yeah, school sheet. He's on,
not
he's
school
on,
sheet, score sheet.
Oh, is that what it's called? On the score sheet, yeah. I think that's why my footballing career didn't go really that far. On the my other defenders, Tyrone Mings and Ben Mee, I just think that they're good, solid footballers to have. Ben Mee, I think last game week, I had him on the bench and he got 5 points. He scored. And I incidentally went to a gig with Ben Mee the other night, Blossoms at Brixton Academy. So he'll definitely be staying in the team, because now I consider him one of my best mates.
Did you speak to him?
Huh?
Did you speak to him?
I think you're buffering, Kelly. I can't hear what you're saying. Sorry.
Also, yes, he's obviously a really good mate of yours. He didn't score. He got an assist. We'll kind of let you.
This is essentially, again, back to my previous point about Harry Kane. It's the same thing, really. An assist and a goal, isn't it? In all but
get points.
Yeah,
you
get points for it. So.
Just a slightly different number. But Who's counting?
I don't know. My question, and this is what I wanted to ask, is like, do you think Shaw should start? You know, with the fixtures that United have got, you know,
That's a good question.
Do I take out Shaw, or do I keep him in? That's my only defensive question, really.
I mean, I think having a Manchester United defender in there makes sense. I think if Dalot's fit and available, he's the obvious choice. But I thought Luke Shaw had actually played quite well in the World Cup for England. I thought he had a good tournament, and I would expect him to play for United. You know, we're going to get an insight, aren't we, into them this week when they're playing the League Cup. So let's see who's in the starting 11 there. But I do think it makes sense to have a Manchester United defender, particularly for these first 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I think Shaw would be the starting left back for United at the restart, Lloyd. So I think that could be a good idea.
Okay, on to midfield then. Who's going Mo Salah? I love this debate, because there'll be someone on here that is and someone on here that isn't. I'm actually wondering though if everyone isn't.
I'm not.
Kelly, you're the only one.
I've got him at the moment, but I don't think he'll stay.
Interesting. Yeah. Why are you going to keep him, Kelly?
Why am I?
No, why wouldn't you? If you've got him now.
Because the cost.
Yeah.
And what's hampering me at the moment is looking at him in my midfield and not being sure about him, but knowing how much money is in him. And I think that's going to be a dilemma that a lot of people are going to have. I, like Jules was saying before, do think that Liverpool are going to pick up and start really well.
Yeah.
They're going to have to improve if they want to keep even up the challenge for top four. They need to improve. And when Liverpool play well, Mo Salah normally plays well. Mm. So I could really regret it. He's in my team at the moment because I've got a tiny bit of money in him. But I think the reality is I'm going to get rid.
So for what it's worth, he scored 3 days ago in a friendly against Milan after like 5 minutes. Nunez got two when he came on for the last half an hour, by the way. Nunez looking great considering he went to the World Cup. And we talk about him in a little bit. But for Salah, considering again that he had some good rest. He had a holiday. He looked really sharp in that game. I'm not sure how much we can look into a friendly match like that, but it's still good to score. It's still good to look sharp like he did. So if that maybe sway a few people, he looked in great form right now.
It's tough though, isn't it, Jules? Because if you remember back to last season, like when Kulusevski arrived at Spurs, we were all going, let's have Kulusevski instead of Son, because they're both returning points, but he's so much cheaper than having Son. And I kind of feel that that same conversation is coming back around now with Salah and Nunes. If Nunes had gone to the World Cup final and the only way to invest in Liverpool was Salah, I suspect he'd be in a lot more FPL teams right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looking at your team, Lloyd, you've got Kevin De Bruyne. Well, you did have him prior to this break. Are you going to be sticking with him? Is he a premium that maybe we should be looking at instead?
I think I'm going to stick with Kevin De Bruyne. Yeah, again, you just don't know what he's got up his sleeve. You know, he's had a few game weeks where he's been a bit absent, but he's a footballer that didn't go that far in the World Cup. So I think we'll, again, just be wanting to get back and play football. At the moment, I've got Mason Mount with De Bruyne. I've got Andreas, who I think I'm going to keep. I've also got Zaha, who I think I'm going to take out. And I think I'm going to bring in Kulusevski. I think I've got a friend who is a spreadsheet person and has been keeping an eye on Kulusevski. Obviously, he didn't go to the World Cup. Apparently, he's just going to be physically very fit, like going to be the fittest he's been. And as you say, cheaper than other options in midfield. So I think I might have a few premiums in the middle. I've got a little bit of money as well, knocking about, because I've got a few cheaper players in there. So I think I might take out Zaha, have Kulusevski in there and have him with De Bruyne and Mount in the middle.
Who else do we need in midfield, Sam, would you say?
Well, midfield's where I'm taking the opportunity to have a few little cheeky punts on players that aren't very highly owned. So Kulusevski, Lloyd, I'm totally with you. I think he's an absolute no-brainer.
Thank you.
Back-to-back returns in 15 and 16 has been great in this kind of pre-season period for Spurs. He's been fantastic. And given that he's been playing without Richarlison, without Son, without Kane, you know, he's been kind of leading the line for Spurs. So yeah, I think he's an essential pick for me. I'm keeping with Martinelli, as I mentioned earlier. I'm also going with your favourite, Kelly, and I'm going to have Marcus Rashford for the restart.
Nice.
The three United fixtures, I know I've mentioned them a lot, but they are so nice. And actually, Rashford's not that heavily owned. He's in 19% of teams. So he's not a differential in the kind of under 10% category that we like to talk about. And he's definitely been up and down. But he was England's top goal scorer, tied with Saka at the World Cup. Got three goals. He was averaging a goal every 46 minutes. And when he got the ball for England, he looked threatening. And I think that Man United are really going to bounce in these next three games. I think that they've had a lot of time to kind of improve morale over the course of this World Cup and work on strategy with Ten Hag. And then these guys are going to come back. And I think Rashford and Luke Shaw will come back feeling quite positive about their involvement in the World Cup. So yeah, I'm going with Rashford for these opening three. I'm sticking with Pereira, because I think that makes a lot of sense. So they'll be my five. No premium in there, though.
No premium. Interesting, Jules. What about you?
Same. I brought in Almiron. I've got a lot of faith in Kulusevski, who, by the way, just to add to what the guys were saying, he's owned by less than 5% of the managers. So again, in terms of differential, it's huge. If he has a good game week, not many people have him. And, you know, the green arrow, and you go high. And then, as I mentioned very briefly last time, I've got faith as well in Christensio Somerville at Leeds, who was one of the most informed players in the game just before the break. I think he got 6.7, 7 and 13 or something like that. Who, they play City for the restart. So, okay, maybe not for that game, but after that, they've got really nice fixture leads, a lot of green fixtures. So just keep an eye on him. He's owned by less than 2%. So it's cheap. You don't take much risk. He can be your fifth midfielder, like Sam was mentioning earlier. And you can see when you bring him on, really. But let's not forget that he finished with so much confidence and momentum that there's no reason why he would not start the same way. And he would start for Leeds because he'd been so good for them just before the break.
Okay, let's finish with forwards. Are we going to waste airtime on this podcast asking if we're having Erling Haaland? We're all having Haaland, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, don't not have Haaland, for goodness
sake. Okay, perfect. Who are we going to have alongside Haaland? That's the real question. Who have you got, Lloyd? Callum Wilson and...
Yeah, I think Callum Wilson and Mitrovic are going to partner Haaland up top. So taking out Jesus and taking out Dominic Solanke. And again, I think that's quite a potent front three.
I like that. Yeah.
If Haaland has a game where he's on fire, which he absolutely can
doesn't have many of those, does he?
No, he doesn't. Again, last game week, 2 points. 1 point, and he was captain. So there are, you know, I know he's
we
coming.
We all went there.
He was coming back from injury. But I think at this point, you know what I mean? As you say, there's been no World Cup. He'll be ready to get out there and prove himself and try and break all those records because that's what he's got his eye on. Do you know what I mean? He's, you know, he wants to score as many goals as possible. So, yeah, I'm going to keep him in up top with who I think Wilson will be chomping at the bit. Will also, you know, want to get Newcastle as high as they can do. And again, Mitrovic, you know what I mean, had a good World Cup, obviously out relatively early. So I think we'll be ready to, you know, gel into the team and take off from where he was.
Sam, I feel like I don't need to ask you who your strikers are. They're going to be Haaland. They're going to be Mitrovic. The only one I'm not sure on is your third striker, potentially Nunes, I'm going to pump with.
Okay, so I actually don't have Mitrovic at the moment. It's the one part of my team that I really dislike is not having Mitrovic because he's...
How? Because surely you can afford him.
But I've got Nunes, Kane and Haaland as my front three now.
And wow. How did I even suggest your three strikers?
Exactly.
So I can't, you know, I can't not have H because he's my favourite. And yeah. And look, you know, this could be his seventh Boxing Day where he scored. And I think it might be. He's on for his 200th goal in the Premier League. That's coming. I know that's coming soon. And you know I want to be owning Harry Kane when he scores his 200th. Can you imagine what I'm going to be? I'll be intolerable on the pod where he's got his 200th Premier League goal. I apologise in advance for it.
I'll be off that week.
So the three of them are really hard. Like when you've got a front three of Haaland, Nunes and Kane, I then look at Mitrovic and I'm honestly thinking I'm terrified to not own Mitrovic because there's a double game week coming where he is highly captainable in that double game week. So there might have to be a kind of Mitrovic hokey cokey that goes on around game week 19 to make sure that I've got him and maybe I don't have Nunes or I don't have Kane for that week. But I want to start with those three. Nunes, Kane and Haaland.
I feel like I'm testing my knowledge of you and now of Jules. So I'm going to try and guess his front three. Kane.
Yeah.
Haaland. Yeah.
He'll have Mitro.
And you've got Mitrovic,
haven't
you?
I've got Darwin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got the same as me.
Yes.
Those two, we're morphing into each other.
Listen, those two goals he scored against Milan the other day in half an hour were so impressive. And I don't know, he looked so strong and he looked so sharp again considering he went to the World Cup that... I've got a lot of time for him right now. I think the World Cup for him had been frustrated, but not for the same reason as Aaron Ramsey that we mentioned earlier. For him, because I think they felt Uruguay and himself that he should have done much better than what they did, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to come back again being very hungry. So I think Darwin could be very good.
Okay, we're going to end on captaincy. As always, I'm guessing this might be quite a short conversation. Are we all going Erling Haaland against Leeds United?
Yes.
There we go.
Wonderful. Well, that was a nice quick ending, wasn't it? Lloyd, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us. I believe you're either about to go on tour or you're on tour at the moment.
Oh, going on tour end of January. So, yeah, up and down the country. I try and get my tour dates in around Grimsby Town fixtures. So that's kind of like how I do it. So, yeah, end of January to the end of March, up and down the country from my website, lloydgriffith.com. But I just want to say this has been so helpful for me. And I've written down all this stuff that ordinarily I wouldn't think about. Like saying, oh yeah, I might captain Mitrovic next week and going, how are you thinking about next week? And again, I think this kind of like sums up, this isn't great for the listener, but just to show you guys, this is on the back of an envelope. You can see the window there. These are all the notes I've written. So here I've just written Somerville, game week 17, captain Mitrovic for double game week. And then essentially Robertson up there. But I've written this all down on the back of my AXA insurance envelope that I got through today. So
FPL is way more important than having insurance on anything.
Exactly. 100%.
Hey, look, courses.
Well, Lloyd, thank you so much for coming on, for taking time out of what I'm sure is a very busy time for you to come on and chat FPL with us. It's great to know that it's not just us FPL nerds that play it, that comedians and the like play it as well.
Oh, comedians, we go mad for it. I'm in little groups with my mates, so yeah. And this is you're an absolute source of knowledge. So thank you.
Brilliant. Well, that is great to hear. Thank you so much for coming on. Have a great Christmas. Sam and Jules, have a great Christmas as
you
well
too,
with
Kat.
The families. I imagine
and happy birthday for this week, Kelly, as well.
Yeah, it's your birthday tomorrow.
Christmas baby. Happy birthday. Yeah, my birthday on the 21st. Thank you very much. Let's not discuss my age. Let's end the podcast right here. Never mind my birthday. Never mind Christmas. The main thing that we're all focusing on at the moment is the return of FPL. Your deadline for game week 17 and to use all of those unlimited transfers is 11 a.m. UK time on Monday, the 26th of December. Set yourselves an alarm. Do not forget it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next Thursday afternoon with another podcast. Bye-bye.